Thank you. Thank you so much. Wonderful. Thanks to Betty and the trio as well for bringing in that wonderful spirit song. I love that. And Celeste, sometimes you just got to go old school. You just got to go back and, you know, you got to touch your roots. You know what I mean? You have to touch the foundation upon which you grew up and what you stand upon. And those kinds of songs just kind of automatically go right to my spirit, you know, and they just move me automatically. So thank you for that. For divine guidance, divine guidance. Yes, we are always being guided, always being led. Sometimes we fail to hear or see or notice the guidance, but nothing takes place without the Spirit of the living God moving throughout our lives, throughout the universe. So we just got to tune in to that divine guidance. So let's just do that by affirming our prayer for unity of Washington, D.C. And I trust my, thank you for my wonderful, let's give our AV team some love. There's some dedicated folks who are showing up every Sunday, making sure we have sound and vision and all of the good things. And sometimes they have to work with my, well, let's do this. Put up that affirmation. Let's change that. And they're right on time. So thank you to our team. So our prayer for unity of Washington, D.C., let's affirm it. Together, unity of Washington, D.C. is a prosperous and dynamic center of love, peace, joy, and truth. We are mighty to attract an abundance of good and to radiate that good to others. All of our needs are met in full and on time with enough to share and to spare. We are overflowing with positive, prayerful, and loving people committed to the principles of truth. We all serve for the glory of God, and so it is. Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you so much, and welcome, welcome, beloved ones. Welcome, welcome, and especially to those beautiful souls who are joining us over the ethers. We see you, we feel you, we acknowledge you. We're grateful for your presence with us this morning, because even though we know this, that distance or time or space doesn't really separate us. The moment we allow ourselves to think of ourselves as being one in the spirit, we are connected and together. So thank you for sharing your light and love this morning with us as we come to our part two, our second talk based on spiritual laws for conscious manifestors. Part two, spiritual laws for conscious manifestors, part two. So I'm speaking to all my light bearers. Any light bearers out there?
Yes.
All right, I'm speaking to my truth tellers. Any truth tellers out there?
Yes.
Yes, and I'm speaking to my conscious manifestors. Any conscious manifestors out there? All right, that's what I'm talking about. We've been sharing or talking about, well, I started this series last week, and we've been talking about our true nature as spiritual beings living in a spiritual universe governed by what spiritual laws, and that as we recognize ourselves as being spiritual beings, that we indeed remember that we carry a vibration and a frequency and an energy level that is divine. Because if we're spiritual beings, that means we are part and parcel of the divinity of God, right? God in divine expression. So as spiritual beings, we know that I am divine. Just say to yourself, I am divine.
I am divine.
I am divine. Sometimes, you know, we have to get that in our heads. I'm not merely this identity of Reverend Sylvia, or I'm not merely a daughter, or I'm not merely a sister, or I'm not merely a minister. I am a divine creation. And as such, I come already equipped with certain skills, abilities, at my disposal. And as a divine being, I carry and walk about this world with a certain vibration and frequency that is connected to the divine. I'm a bad somebody. Yeah. We got to start recognizing that, because when we can consciously tap into this frequency that we are and have been created out of, then we can do great things and manifest at the highest level. And I used the last week or two, I've used Jesus the Christ as an example, because after all, he was indeed what? The way shower. We call him the way shower. He said, I am the way, the life, and the truth, that Christ spirit. So he's that way shower. And he said, look, these things that I do, even what? Greater things shall you do. Not can you do. He said, shall you do these greater things? And so we're looking at him as our example and way shower, because he indeed performed miracles that seemed like they were extraordinary feats. Now, I'll get into the whole concept maybe at another time about how miracles are simply the higher working out of higher spiritual laws. Laws that we may not be familiar with, so it seems miraculous to us. But they are in order, because everything is in order in the universe, right? There's a divine order to everything. Nothing is out of order. Everything is happening within the spiritual law and the expression of the universe. The sun, the moon, the stars, they are in order. They are in their place, right? Because of this greater expression of a higher law that is keeping everything in divine order. Yet there's the evolution of life, the growth. So yes, things are always in divine order, but we are also always evolving into a greater expression of that order. So yeah, we're here, but we have this opportunity to evolve into our greater sense of self beyond our limited thinking. So we've been using this wonderful concept of Jesus as the way shower, as the one who performed lots of miracles and did extraordinary feats, what we call extraordinary feats, such as feeding 5,000 people from 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, or walking on water, or calming the seas, or maybe healing the blind, or healing people, touching people, letting people touch him, and having virtue flow from him that heals them. Or maybe this wonderful power of transfiguration, of changing his physical being into pure light, pure spiritual energy, so that others who are with him can perceive that, right? Not to mention him demonstrating the wonderful great feat of resurrection over death. All of these things. And we want to say, well, they were only reserved for Jesus. But he himself said that we could do these things. Even Paul says that we are joint heirs, right? We are joint heirs with this Christ energy, able to do these things. So clearly Jesus was able to do those things because he not only understood the spiritual principles and spiritual laws that actually enabled him to do those things, but he put them into action. He put them into action. Because think about it, we too know a lot of spiritual laws and principles. If you've been coming to this church for any period of time, I'm sure you picked up one or two. I'm hoping, at least, right? So if I were to say, tell me a spiritual principle or a spiritual law. Tell me a spiritual principle or a spiritual law that you know. Thoughts held in mind, law of mind and action. Exponential increase. That's all you know? Oh, okay. We got some classes coming up. I hope to see your face in the place. But we do know spiritual laws and principles. We don't know them all by heart, but we've been taught them. We know them. Yet, knowing them is not enough, right? You got to do. You got to put it into action. Bruce Lee said, knowing is not enough. You must act. You must do. You must apply. Even the Apostle James said the very same thing. So this time period that we are in is demanding that we move beyond our knowledge, our knowing about something, to our knowing it. Knowing it because it is alive in us, because we are demonstrating that which we know, right? We are expressing that which we know. We are putting it into action because, you know, our goal for being here is to become conscious manifestors, to bring heaven upon the earth, to take all of these spiritual concepts and principles and move them into a reality for us. Because after all, if we can't make them real, or if they can't be demonstrated, then why are we, what are we doing? We have to make them real, bringing heaven upon the earth. There's an old truth saying that says, everything I have by right of consciousness. Everything I have by right of consciousness, meaning somehow your thoughts, your feelings, your attitudes, your perceptions play a very important and significant and integral part of the manifestation of your hopes and your dreams and your goals and your desires. That your consciousness has a great deal to do with that. We call it, and somebody mentioned here, one of the things that would be a reflection of this, the value of our thoughts, feelings, attitudes, and consciousness, is this law called what? The law of mind action. The law of mind action, or the law of mind in action. It's how the mind works. It's how creation works. And the law of mind is how God works. When God said, let there be, and there what? There was. There's a law. And the law of mind action plainly says, thoughts held in mind do what? Produce after their kind. Thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. Some people call it similar to the law of attraction. Like attracts like. That when you hold a certain thought, then the vibration of that thought, you will attract that to you. Some people call it the law of correspondence. That whatever you are putting out that thought, that energy will find a corresponding thought that helps you to bring something into manifestation. So for now, we will use the unity's understanding of the law of mind action. Thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. But as I was meditating on this, I thought, you know what? I'm going to change that law a little bit. And, you know, you might think, well, where did I get the ability to change a spiritual law? Because I can. Right? You can. It's changing the understanding and the perception of that law. Just like I said, the law of attraction, the law of correspondence, the law of cause and effect, all of them are basically the same thing, but someone has added a little bit deeper understanding or something more. So I want to change this law of mind action that we talk about a lot in Unity, and I want to add this. Thoughts and feelings held in mind produce after their kind. Thoughts and feelings held in mind produce after their kind. Because what really happens for any manifestation, any creation, any demonstration to happen is that when your thoughts are coupled with, joined with your feelings, then that's what does the magic. That's the magic formula. Because people have said, well, I've thought about this for a long time, but yes, but how'd you feel about it? Well, I didn't think it was going to happen. Well, then, wonderful having that thought. The thought and the feeling are coupled and married together, because here's the thing. Your feelings heighten or raise the vibration of your thoughts. Your feelings heighten or raise the vibration of your thoughts. They take your thoughts to another frequency, to another level. Have you ever been in a discussion with someone and, you know, maybe you're disagreeing or whatever, but then you're starting to feel some kind of way. The energy, you know, your emotions are starting to be triggered up, and all of a sudden, that energy and that vibration is heightened and raised, right? Maybe you raise your voice. Maybe the intensity of your expression gets really deep, and something happens, and people are like, whoa, 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 take it down a notch, right? Because when you add those feelings and emotions to a thought sometimes, and that those feelings heighten your thoughts and take over, sometimes it's at another level where somebody, we might want to ratchet it down a bit. Take it to another level. Ooh, bring it down. Because thoughts and feelings together are a very powerful combination. And we want to make sure that we're using both of them in a proper way so that we're adding to our life. Because anything we do, any law we apply, can be used for ill or good or bad or whatever. So we want to make sure that we're taking this combination, this marriage between these two things, and using it in a way that actually benefits us and blesses us, right? And so when you are able to work with your thoughts and add your emotions, something else takes place. You're on a different level. Now your thoughts have this opportunity to become more manifest. See, thoughts are things, and people don't get this. They think, oh, a thought is just a thought. No, thoughts are things. Mr. Filmer used to say they carry an energy and a vibration. Thoughts are real. There are no, the Bible said, there are no idle thoughts or idle words. Nothing is idle. Nothing is insignificant. There are no idle words. So thought, a thought actually is an activator of potentiality. A thought activates potentiality. That thought reaches into the mass of just what's possible and singles out, grabs something out of the realm of what? Possibility and potentiality. And the thought, along with the feeling, but that thought begins to activate whatever is held in the infinite realm of possibility. So because thoughts are things and they carry a vibration, when you add a feeling that heightens the vibration, because energy and feelings are vibrations, then what happens is when you couple those two things together, now you have raised the vibration and the likelihood of that thought actually manifesting for yourself. It will manifest in due season, especially if you are holding both of them in your being and in your consciousness together. Now, remember, you can also, we talked about this previously, but you can also raise your feeling vibration by imagining what it would feel like to have your dream manifested or to have whatever it is you're working on, you know, to actually visualize and to imagine what would it feel like? What would it feel like? I'm doing that. I'm saying, ooh, what would it feel like when I'm totally healed? I'm going to be hiking up the canyons, you know, in 90-degree weather without breaking a sweat. I'm doing my thing. What would that feel like? Not just think about it. Image what it would feel like as well as what it would be like, because when you do that, you feel it. You are elevating your level. You're heightening the ability for you to be able to manifest. I talked about this other way to do that, to bring this activation or this ability to make sure that you are raising the vibration of your desire, of your wants, of your prayers, of your needs. You know, sometimes we're just praying and praying and praying, but there are just words that have no meaning, have no feeling, have no vibration, and oh, Lord, help me, Lord, help me, Lord, help me, Lord, help me. And the Lord is saying, Lord, if you could just stop, I could maybe help you if you get on a different vibration, right? If you can recognize I'm always helping you, I'm always leading you, I'm always guiding you, stop asking me for that and start claiming what I'm doing. So there's a different, claim what you seek and want. Claim what I'm doing in your life. Claim what you want. What do you want to feel? What do you want to see? What do you want to experience? You're the manifestor. So stop thinking it's all out there and you're just flailing. Oh, no, 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 no. A manifestor, understand that it is yours. understand that you need to raise your vibration to the level of the thing you desire. Whether you're applying the law of mind action, the law of correspondence, whatever it is, the law of cause and effect, get something going. Work on these principles. You can even, an easy way, I shared in a couple of talks back, I shared that the power of yes, of saying yes with feeling after your thought or your prayer or your request or your desire, the power of saying yes after that is also extremely positive. It is extremely powerful because yes is one of those words that is also an activator. And so maybe next week I've been praying, I'll be talking about what words or what principles are activators, right? That begin to get things going, that are spiritual stimulants of sort, so that, you know, you're putting things into motion. The point is that when you have both thought and feeling together, they will aid in the manifestation. So that's one thing that we can do in working with the spiritual laws. So last week I said I would speak about this other, a new law that I came into understanding, and it's called the law of reversibility. And I'd not really heard that. So when I came across it, I wanted to do some research on that, because I'm always seeking what spiritual law can I have an understanding. And this is what I found. It says, if an outcome can create a feeling, then feeling can create an outcome. If an outcome can create a feeling, then a feeling can create an outcome. Right? Think about that, right? And this is not just simply like the law of attraction. There's a little something different going on here. This law of reversibility. If fire can produce heat, then heat can produce what? Fire. You get something hot enough, you can produce fire. Well, fire can also produce what? Heat. So you know, if a fan can create wind, then the wind can spin a what? A fan, right? That's how these big little fan things are working out in the middle of the desert. It's spinning. The fan is creating energy. But that change in the atmosphere is also spinning what? The fan. I love it. If this one says, if sound can create vibrations, then vibrations can create what? Sound. This is a powerful one I like. If wealth creates the feeling of freedom, because when you're wealthy, you feel like you can just what? I can do anything. So if wealth creates the feeling of freedom, freedom, the feeling of freedom can also create what? Wealth. If success can create confidence, because I'm successful, I'm confident. But if I'm confident, I can also create what? Success. So I like this because what this says, like, you know, if love can bring me happiness, then also, you know, happiness can attract love. If love brings me happiness, but if I'm a happy being and a happy person, my vibe is happy, people want to do what? They're attracted to that vibration. But what this law says to me is that if I could lay hold of one side of a coin, then the other side of it is sure to follow. Or the other side of it is also an outcome. For example, if I follow the law of giving and receiving, with the law of reversibility, it means that the more I give, the more I have room to do what? Receive. And the more I receive means I have more room to do what? To give. So it's a beautiful cyclical expression that we can be blessed with if we understand this law of reversibility. And I'm saying with this law, we win either way when we're applying it. We're winning either way, as long as we're putting out the positive thoughts and vibrations that we want, because the law will also work for negativity, right? Because if hate and vitriol produces extreme prejudice can produce what? Hate and vitriol. So you got to watch it. Remember, this is one of the things I like about the law. The law don't care about who you are, what you look like. The law is going to work. When you apply the law, it's going to work. So we have a responsibility. And there are people who apply the law to their own benefit. And you're like, how come the rich get richer? Because they're working with a certain consciousness. They're applying a certain law. We might be working on another consciousness, right? Whatever you have, everything you have by what? Right of consciousness. So this is a great thing to understand. So I said, well, let me see. How can I put this into even more spiritual sense, more spiritual principles? How would that work? So I said, well, let me look at this. The more forgiving I am, the freer I am. That forgiveness can produce what? A sense of freedom. And the more freer I am, there's room for what? More forgiveness. Because what it's saying is that if I can be free from within, then I will be more forgiving because this internal freedom is not causing me to be bound mentally on any level. See, if I'm holding unforgiving thoughts, I'm bound, I'm stuck. I'm stuck to that thing that I'm not forgiving, right? And it's stuck to me. But if I can practice, if I'm forgiving and I'm practicing forgiving it, then freedom can be the result. And when I am not bound to anything, if I practice freedom for myself, freedom within, freedom for myself, then what happens is forgiveness will be a natural result of my inner freedom. Yes? Yes. Yeah, and so I said, well, if you can't forgive someone else, then work on yourself. Because sometimes we want to start with, well, I just can't forgive them. Okay. How about using the law of reversibility? Can you forgive yourself? Work on self, because if you can get yourself to a state of inner freedom where you're open and you're flowing and you're not bound by anything, then all of a sudden forgiveness becomes easy. That's just a natural result and outcome of your inner freedom. So, you know, use this more wisely. You can't start with forgiving somebody. Okay, fine. Start with the reverse. Forgiving self. If I have an abundance consciousness, or if an abundance consciousness can produce a lack of scarcity consciousness, that means in a lack of scarcity consciousness can produce what? An abundance consciousness. Come on, hang in there with me. Right? If I have an abundance consciousness produces a lack of scarcity consciousness, then a lack of scarcity consciousness can produce an abundance consciousness. And this might be good because sometimes we might not be able to start with seeing ourselves as an abundant, prosperous, rich child of a rich and loving father. You know, we say that, and people are like, I don't really feel like I'm a rich child of a rich and loving father. I don't feel like I'm prosperous beyond measure and beyond means. I'm looking at my purse. Don't start with that then. If you can't feel that through the law of reversibility, start with what that produces. What would then a lack of scarcity consciousness produce in you? It will produce abundance. So, you know, you've got to figure out how you want to reverse the process and work on your dealing with your consciousness that says that there's a lack of scarcity as opposed to the fullness of abundance. And the Bible says it this way. It says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And I like that one because what that says to me is there is a fullness to everything. There is a fullness in everything. There is no scarcity of anything. See, the world teaches us about scarcity, not enoughness. And we buy into it. So instead of buying into not enoughness, why don't we buy into this no lack of any good thing? I lack nothing. You may not be able to say I'm rich as the Dickens, but you can say, you know what? I lack nothing. Let me hear you affirm, I lack nothing. I lack nothing. Affirm, the universe is full of God. I'm going to say that one again. The universe is full of God. The universe is full of good. I live in a perpetual state of blessings. There is enough. I am enough. I have enough. Yeah, see, say it with vibration and energy. Because, you know, we want to work with this whole, I want to understand that, all right, I'm working on an abundance consciousness, but before I can get there, maybe I need to work on my lack of scarcity consciousness. I need to build that up. And so I was thinking about a scripture that might point that out. And I came across, of course, the scripture from 2 Kings 4, verses 1 through 7. And let me see if I can pull this up here. And this is about a widow. And she goes to the prophet Elisha, not Elijah. There's Elisha and Elijah. But she goes to the prophet Elijah, and she's facing this threat of her sons being sold into slavery because she doesn't have enough money to pay her debts, right? And so she's seeking help, and she goes to Elisha, and she tells him her concern about not having a lot of money to pay her debts and fearful that her sons will be sold off into slavery. And so he asks her this important question. He says to her, well, what do you have in your house? Now, we know spiritually and metaphysically by now, you ought to know that a house represents what? Consciousness. So he's saying, what do you have in your consciousness? I don't know whoever this is, but I'm in the middle of doing a sermon. So whoever you are, you got to call me back. Don't be called. I have my phone on because, let me put it on silence here. I don't know who they were, but if it was important, they'll do what? They'll call me back. I ain't worried about it. So, and if it's somebody that really knows me, they know I should be away on a Sunday morning. Don't be calling me on a Sunday morning. So anyway, so he says to her, well, what do you have in your house? What do you have in your consciousness? And she says, well, I only have a little jar of oil. Then he says, okay, I want you to go out to your neighbors, and I want you to gather every pot and container you can get. And so she goes out to her neighbors, and she gathers all these different pots, right? And containers. And then he tells her, okay, pour the oil. And she begins to pour the oil. And miraculously, the oil, what? It fills, it fills every single pot until she reaches the last pot. And what happens? The oil stops. This is a very, very powerful. And then he tells her, fine, go out and sell the oil, pay your debts, and live off the rest. Very powerful scripture, because what this says to us is that we have to start with what do we have in our consciousness. Everything you have by right of consciousness. So he tells her, okay, start by what's in your house. And she says, I only have a little jar of oil. Well, okay, then use what you have. Start with what you have. And what I feel that he was doing was he was preparing her consciousness. What do you have in your house? I have some. Okay, get your consciousness prepared to what? To receive your good. Sometimes we do a lot of praying, but we ain't ready for the good we're asking for. We've got to be prepared in consciousness to receive it, to have it, to own it. We may speak that I really want this, but then you're double-minded. The head and the heart are not in agreement. The thought and the feeling are not in agreement for manifestation. So we've got to prepare the consciousness for the thing that we want. And the question I said to ask myself and you is, how much of the infinite good can you handle? How much good can you handle? Or how much of God's infinite good that you believe is possible for you? How much? What do you have in your house? See, you can go to God with a thimble and get a thimble's worth of good. You can go to God with a bucket, get a bucket's worth of good. You can go to God with what? A barrel, and get a barrel's worth, a container, or whatever it is. So the size of your blessings and good has to do with how much you believe you can contain and what are you using? How are you going to the create infinite spirit with your desire and your request? It's infinite. So we need to work on our believability level on how much good can you handle before you go asking. Can you handle what you ask for? Are you prepared to receive what you asked for with clarity of mind, without a doubt, with the assurance that this is already going to manifest because it's already done in the universe? I'm coming with a big barrel of whatever. So he said to her, get what you have. And then he prepared her to get the increase. She had to start with what? Her little jar of oil. And she got all the containers. And as she began to use what she had, it began to what? Multiply. So this is a spiritual law as well, right? Using what you have. The universe knows how to multiply. You don't have to figure out, well, I don't know how about this little thing of water is going to feed all of you in here so that you get a drink. That's not for me to do. My job is to recognize I'm going to use what I have. And somehow through the spirit of the living God, through the presence and power of God, through the higher workings of law, I'm going to believe that this water will be enough to give everybody a sip, a taste. Because did not Jesus said, I have living waters. If you knew, he says to the woman at the well, if you knew who I was, you'd be asking me for the living waters, not just getting upset because I'm asking you for a drink. If you understood who I'm, what I'm working with and the level of my consciousness, you would understand that I could give you living waters. We have to elevate what's possible, our belief, our faith, and begin to use whatever it is that we have. Because, you see, she had to actually begin, jumpstart the multiplying process. The oil would not have multiplied if she refused to what? Use whatever she had. If she said, well, I can't do that. I only got a little bit, so I need to save it. Right? Then what you would do? I can't spend that because I only got a little bit. You are already starting with limitation. You could do that, but don't be surprised if all you get is your little, all you have is your little jar of oil. She had to begin the process of activation, begin the process of multiplication with where she was using what she had. Because, you know, when you begin to pour in your faith, when you begin to, don't pour in your fear, start pouring in your faith, using what you have. Whatever you have by right of consciousness. There's going to be enough money. There's going to be enough for me to do. Come on, God, I got $10, but you know what? I'm going to give this $10. I'm going to do this. You ever see those on YouTube, the people who go around and they go to like Walmart or a store? And they have like maybe, you know, $1,000 or $5,000, but they go up to a person and they say, you know what, I'm so hungry, I don't have anything to eat. Could you help me out? And I've seen the people say, well, you know, I don't really have a lot, but here, I'm gonna give you, you know, $5 or whatever. I need this for my kid, but I'm gonna share it with you. And then of course the person reveals that here, because you were so willing to give from what you had, from what little you had, that little multiplied, and they're like, what? And he says, yeah, you can have this $1,000. I don't know if you've seen those, but I love those. Because it shows that when you're willing to open up that heart value, when you're willing to see beyond your limitations, beyond what you can literally have or you can only see and touch, and you touch the spirit, you elevate that faith, you elevate whatever, and you start using and giving and opening up, the universe just multiplies. Grace happens. Grace happens. And so it's a certain way in which we use and walk about in the earth and in the world that will tell whether or not we are really attuned to the higher vibrations. And so there are many, many of these laws that we can work with, what we're pulling out of. And, you know, there are laws that we know. They're very simple. And I thought, well, maybe next week I'm going to go over some of the spiritual laws and principles that elevate and activate. Certain words, certain laws carry an activating energy. They start things going, right, in our consciousness. So as you begin to look at where you are, look at the state of your life, your conditions, what needs to be activated, what needs to be lifted up, what miracle do you need to start drawing to you for your own life, your own expression? Are you working on, you know, seeing the lack or eliminating a lack of scarcity consciousness and start seeing what is available, seeing the fullness of God? You know, I could look at it two ways. I could see that something is empty. I only have a little jar of oil. Elijah was like, that little jar of oil ain't nothing. I got an infinite amount. There's an infinite amount of oil. You got to be able to see beyond the literal. See beyond what is already manifested to the realm of potentiality of what is possible. Open up. The Bible says what the Lord can do far more exceedingly things than we could even dare to dream or ask for. So we've got to rev up our ability to ask, to see, to speak, to claim, get that heart and head, get the heaven and the earth working together. Your thoughts and feelings, elevate your mindset. Work with your divine emotional sense of being and couple that with what you want. Weed out those other lower vibrational thoughts. Because this is how we become conscious manifestors. We got to work this thing. You know, I'm watching it for myself. Consciousness is deep because I will spend time with my vibrating on a certain thought and energy, and I feel good. And then the next day, all of a sudden, that negative thought is back there again. I'm like, what in the world? I just had a great day yesterday. I was riding high. Now I got this. I have to. And so I'm learning. It's a process. Let me work with that energy. Let me do my inner work of consciousness, because everything I have, I'm going to have by right of consciousness. Can I get my mindset right? And where I notice that it is off, then that's my work. That's my work. So are you ready to become a conscious manifestor?
Yes.
Are you ready to do the work?
Yes.
Then let's do this together. Blessings. Blessings, blessings, blessings. Blessings. Thank you.